Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And as I say every week, I'll remind you again, if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. And whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. And write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, Lord, we come back to study the book of Revelation again. And Lord, as we do, we need you. We need the Spirit of God to illuminate the verses so that we would be able to understand them and see the application for our lives. So Lord, give us the wisdom and the insight that we need. Help us to be focused on what's before us today. Might you bless the study. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. It is good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program, and I trust you have a Bible with you. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to turn, to Revelation chapter 7, if you would. Revelation chapter 7. We're talking about the grace of God as we study in an expository way, as we study the book of Revelation. This section that we've come to, we've entitled The Grace of God. So let me give you a little bit of background as to where we were last week. That'll help you and it'll help me also. We stepped into chapter 7 last week, and I need to pull up a little bit of some of the thoughts that we looked at last week so that we can connect them with where we're going to go today. In this chapter, in Revelation chapter 7, we find what I'm going to call is a calm before the storm. In chapter 6, we looked at the seal judgments, and in those judgments, we were able to see the devastation, which will be poured out upon the earth in the beginning of the tribulation period. There were really multiple seal judgments there. There were six of them, as a matter of fact. We looked at the Antichrist. The revelation of the Antichrist, we looked at the wars, we looked at the famines, we looked at the death that's going to come, we looked at the martyrdom of the saints that is going to take place. This is all in the beginning of the first half of the tribulation. We looked at that sixth seal, which whenever God shakes the heaven and the earth and the stars fall from the heavens, and every island and every mountain is moved out of its place. And so chapter 6 is full of activity. It is full of activity. It is full of devastation in chapter 6 because of those six seal judgments. And then you come to chapter 7 and you find God restraining the judgments, so to speak. Watch, if you would, chapter 7, 1 through 4. Let me read it. And after these things, I saw the four angels. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, those winds are the winds of judgment. Let me keep going. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard a number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, what we find here is this, that the judgments are stayed. They are stopped until the 144,000 Jewish men can be sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads. This is what we looked at last week. We looked at two points concerning the mark in their foreheads. Number one, we looked at the fact that it will most likely be a visible mark for their protection. Ezekiel 9:4-6, it says this, And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, nor have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. Now, that's back in Ezekiel, but let me remind you that here there is a mark in the forehead of these 144,000 missionaries, and these missionaries are needed because the church will not be here. Watch Revelation chapter 7 again, watch verse 3. It says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. These people are referred to as servants of God. Now, let me share with you what Isaiah recorded. Isaiah 66, 19 and 20 says this, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nation, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and chariots and litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. So these 140, the point I want to make here, these 144,000 are going to be God's missionaries that are going to go out unto all the earth, and they're going to carry the gospel with them as they go out into the earth. So these individuals that we read of here, staying with our point, they will carry with them a visible mark of protection, a visible mark so that people will know who they are. Now, let me get you to the mark that'll be on these 144,000 Jewish men. This mark will be counterfeited by the Antichrist in the tribulation. The time of the tribulation will be a time of great deception. As a matter of fact, today I'm doing this message on the 22nd of July, 2020. For you that are listening on the radio, and we are living in a time of great deception. You'll agree with me that if you watch much of the news, there are so many conflicting stories. There is so much inconsistency in what is being done. We are in a time of great deception. You just don't know what to believe. And so what we're seeing today is we're seeing the stage set for the tribulation period. I believe if you were to go back to Matthew 24 and you were to read through Matthew 24 where Jesus talks about the tribulation period, I think you'll find the word deceive used probably about three times in that chapter. One of the main things that will take place during the tribulation period will be deception. Okay, with that said, let me remind you of this. The Antichrist is gonna counter, let me go beyond that. Satan is gonna counterfeit many things of God in the tribulation period. The Antichrist will be a counterfeit of Jesus Christ. Okay, listen to Revelation 13, 11 through 17. Listen to this. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Now listen to this, speaking of the of the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So this mark that is given here is a counter, the mark that the Antichrist and the false prophet are gonna push forward in the tribulation period. That mark of the beast, so to speak, is going to be a counterfeit of what God's doing right here in Revelation chapter 7. And so what it is, it's all part of the deception. It's all part of the deception that is going to take place, the confusion that is going to take place during that time. Let me read for you what Jesus said about the deception during the Great Tribulation. Keep in mind the counterfeit mark of the Antichrist. Revelation 24, okay, I just told you about this chapter, 24, 21 through 24. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This deception will not just exist in the second half of the tribulation, but it will also exist in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Let me remind you that the 144,000 will most likely be saved through the ministry of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. We'll get to that as whenever we get to chapter 11. That they will be saved, and so they're going to be taking place. Their ministry is going to start shortly after the tribulation begins. These 144,000, Jews get saved, 12,000 from each tribe. And when they get saved, that is going to begin their mission. And so to confuse people then at the midpoint of the tribulation, then you're going to have the mark of the beast that is going to come in, which is going to be a counterfeit of this mark, which is going to cause great confusion among the people. Now let me get you back to these 144,000 Jews. They are Jewish men, okay, men, now listen to this, and they are the first fruits of God. Revelation 14, 1 through 4, listen to this. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount, Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads, and heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they, now listen to this, which were not defiled with women. Okay, so they're virgins. That's what the verse says, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. Now listen to this, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So, because they're called the first fruits, that tells us that they're saved in the beginning of the tribulation period. They're saved in the beginning. They're saved most likely through the witness of the testimony of the two witnesses that we're going to meet whenever we get to Revelation in chapter 11. Let me take you now to the results of their witness. Watch chapter 7, verse 9. If you would. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Here we see a great multitude standing before the throne of God. So great is this multitude that John says that no man could number them. Verse 9 again says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So they're in heaven. Okay, catch that. They're in heaven. They're standing before the throne. Watch 10, 11, and 12. And cried, they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so we see here the praise of this multitude as well as the praise of the angels around the throne. Now watch 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, or who are they? And whence came they? Where did they come from? Verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. In other words, John said, I don't know. Where did they come from? And he said unto me, these are they. Now listen to this. Which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. One of the elders asked John here who the multitude is and where did they come from. And the elder then answers and he tells John, these are the people that have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Now listen, the great tribulation is the second half. Okay, you got that? The first half is tribulation. The second half is the great tribulation. If we were to go back to chapter 6, verse 9, we read this. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge and avenge, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And so here's a group in Revelation 6, starting verse 9 and going through verse 11. They are slain in the beginning of the tribulation. These are believers that are martyred in the beginning. Then you have, after in the second half of the tribulation, you have this huge crowd of believers that John says they are innumerable. And it says in verse 14, watch it again, and I want to point something out here. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see that phrase, these are they which came out? It literally means these are they who are coming out. The statement is in the present tense, and it means that there's a constant line of saints coming out of the tribulation. A constant line. It takes my mind to the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, 9 through 12. He says, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So there is going to be a hatred for those that are followers of Jesus Christ. Matthew 10, listen to this one, 21 and 22a. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So many are, listen, the tribulation period is going to be extremely difficult for those that get saved in that time. Basically, I'll say this, and we'll talk more about this as we go through the book of Revelation, that to become a believer in the tribulation period will be like signing your own death sentence. Now, not all of them are going to die. We'll see that as we go on through. There will be some that will survive, but the majority of them are going to be killed. And here in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, there is a multitude. John says it's so great that no man could number them, and they are constantly coming out of the tribulation. So it's almost like there is a flow of them coming out, because on the earth, their blood flows, and then their souls basically are flowing into the presence of God. Now, let me give you a glimpse into the mind, the mind of the slayers. Okay, those that will be doing the slaying. John 16, 1 and 2, it says this. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now, no doubt that applied to the days of the apostles. No doubt about that. But it also has a prophetic look into the tribulation period. When the people that are doing the slaying will be under the influence of Satan, and as they follow the Antichrist, and there's a real good chance that these are people that are under the strong delusion that is talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Okay, so this is Satan's, this is the Antichrist and Satan's influence upon those that are unsaved. And he goes on to say, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, which probably means they rejected the witness of the two, of God's two witnesses, and they rejected the testimony of the 144,000. They rejected all of that. So verse 11 says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So under that delusion, they are thinking as they serve the Antichrist, who is ultimately Satan's masterpiece, and as they are under the influence of the demonic and the satanic forces of the world in that tribulation period, then they think that they are doing God a service by slaying the saints, the true followers of Christ. Now, this scene is not limited to the first half of the tribulation here in Revelation 7. The elder tells John they came out of great tribulation, which I told you. And this is late enough in the tribulation that the gospel has been preached around the world. It's been preached around the world. So these people, as I said, they're saved sometime along the line by the 144,000 Jewish men. Their testimony and the witness, the testimony of the two men, the two witnesses, and so they've been saved. But it seems as though they're killed in the second half of the tribulation period, and very well could be, because they won't receive the mark of the beast. They won't take it, and so they're gonna be slain for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me point out a few interesting points from all of this. Number one, the witness of the 144,000 missionaries will be very effective. It'll be very effective. Listen to the words of one Bible teacher on God using the 144,000 Jews, and I quote, "There is a decided advantage in using Jews to conduct a worldwide revival in a short time period of 3.5 years. The modern missionary must spend approximately 6 years, that's 4 years of Bible, 2 of target language, before he is fully equipped to present the gospel in a language that is not his own. All of this world's major languages and a great number of the world's minor languages are spoken by Jews somewhere. Most Jews receive a good and basic understanding of the Old Testament text. These Jews will already speak the languages needed. They will already have a basic knowledge of the Old Testament text. They could begin to preach the gospel in a very short period of time," unquote. So these Jewish men are the perfect missionaries for this time on the earth. Here's the application. Listen to this. We're also the perfect witnesses to those whom we know. There are people you know and you have a connection with which no one else has. You got an inside track. Therefore, you're responsible to share the gospel with them. Ezekiel 3:18 and 19 says, "When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." So we are accountable for the time in which we live in. Something else to think about. Number two, when the righteous die, they will no longer suffer. Watch 15 and through 17. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and it sitteth on the throne, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let me get you down to a conclusion and say this. Maybe you have lost a loved one who was saved, and you wonder what it's like for them now. The answer is right here. They're suffering no more. They're comforted by the Lamb as they stand before the throne of God. Whatever it is which brought suffering into their lives, it no longer exists. They're free from all pain, sorrow, and suffering. They are free from all heartache because it says God wipes away all tears from their eyes. All tears from their eyes. Listen, let me ask you this question. Are you washed in the blood? Are you saved? Are you 100% sure that you are saved? Because listen, we are living in a time where we are getting very close to the end. And the only way for you to be sure that you know where you're going whenever you die or whenever the rapture takes place is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. John 14:6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You need to know Christ as Savior. You have sinned and you need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior that came into the world to save you. You need to repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And as I often say, and I'll say it again, if you ever desire a copy of our message, this one or any other one, just write to us. Write to us. Whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the program you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.